Radio.
I suppose I should get my notes up. Not like it's going to help me understand what I watched, but...
Wait, you have more than five notes for this one?
When the songs happened, I just said, oh, song, don't know what's happening.
It's a metaphor!
Taste the apple.
But Menahan, how do you feel about the music industry?
This movie's pretty pro-music industry, right?
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, that's why it's got so much music in it.
Did you guys watch that Japanese one that How Did This Get Made did?
No, the one about the brothers or whatever?
Oh my god, you absolutely need to watch that.
Is it on Tubi?
Yes.
And what is it called again?
The something brothers, I don't remember. Stardust.
Stardust Brothers, yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. It's, something else.
It's not the one Brent's always talking about. The it's Friday in California. Oh,
no, I don't believe it's the same one.
I'll say the only Japanese one we've seen recently is Wild Zero.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one too.
Oh, indeed. It's so good.
That's why it's 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
why are we talking about it?
Was there like six reviews?
Something like that, yeah. And Fukuyama Gushida. Okay, yeah, it was a positive review.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert.
Says two a thumbs up. I found a real gold mine on Tubi. It was... it was just like an hour of bloopers, but it was all from like old Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to see Humphrey Bogart being like, well, let me tell you, it's like, God damn it, I forgot the fucking line.
And then scream a couple N-words.
Then he just shit
himself. No, actually, surprisingly, no. But there was one where somebody just, like, crashed through the wall by mistake in the background. And the woman just turned around. She was like, oh, was that for me?
Yeah. Some old lady coming through all going, oh yeah.
I wish that would have predated it. No, it's pretty good. Edward G. Robinson messing up a bunch too, so it was really funny.
Here we go, see? Okay, honestly, why do I have to say it like this? Is this some sort of Italian-American stereotype?
In 1994, the world is controlled by one power. The apple is success.
There ain't no pride. There ain't no shame. There ain't no sympathy. There ain't no blame. There ain't no pleasure.
The apple brings you everything.
What about happiness?
Child of love, show me, tell me.
I wanted to release Bibi from a contract.
Cheers.
Where is she?
The bitter gone, I stand alone.
The apple is the temptation. The apple is the experience.
Take the apple! Whoa! Where's the apple? Whoa! Yeah, 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 yeah!
The apple is the forbidden fruit.
Come and take me and shape me and mold me and make me and fill me up with your fire. Come do anything to me, your little heart
the apple takes your soul.
New York's cab to L.A. Everybody does it her way. Pop in power by the hour. Speed. I can feel the earth start quaking when America starts shaking. Pop in power by the hour. Speed. Speed.
Now, a special experience in movie-going entertainment. The Apple.
Yeah! My name is Steve.
My name's Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from movies. And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
Steve, please take over.
We are continuing Sexy Singin' September.
Woo! How did he know our wedding vows? Steve, please take over.
All right. Step aside, father.
Whoa.
Yeah, like
wow.
My father came to our wedding.
Isn't that what you call step aside, priest?
We had no
slash vampire train.
He was not a priest.
Yeah, he was.
We had a non-denominational, possibly bigger pothead than Brendan here.
I'm not that big of a pothead.
Well, no, you've lost weight, but you used to be bigger.
Oh boy, speaking of dads
with 1980s the apple.
Taste the apple.
Yeah, is he breaking the song? Let's hear it.
Oh my god, I dreamed about this song last night. Apparently it's just been playing in the back of my head.
I want to take that chance. Do the apple dance. That's right. But babe, I don't know if you know this. We're not alone for this one.
What?
I know, my voice seemed a little crackly there at the beginning, but that was actually Brendan from What Were They Thinking podcast. Welcome, Brendan!
Doing a fucking pitch-perfect impression. You're welcome. Guys, I had to be on the... When you told me what you were doing this month... Like, obviously, I gotta be on the weird Canadian musical. How can I not?
That's right. When are you guys gonna talk about this on full screen?
And country.
And country. Probably never.
But, wait, is this not a Canadian movie? Or?
I mean, I guess it is. But, you know, once you covered it, you covered it.
Actually, guys, I've got some news for you about this movie and where it was made. But that's coming up later.
I mean, technically, it is a Canadian film, though.
Oh, is it? Was it financed and everything?
Yeah, well, I think, Moose Jaw, I mean, we'll talk about that.
Well, okay.
No, but it is, I believe it's, like, Canadian produced, Canadian writer, director, most of the cast, etc.
Catherine. Yeah, we'll get into it, but, babe.
Steve.
I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little thirsty.
I'm a little sober.
Yeah, we'll see what we got. Unfortunately, I looked. We don't have anything apple-related for this one.
Taste the apple! Taste the apple!
But from Ogden River Brewing here in Ogden, Utah, we have Becker's Best American Pilsner.
Yeah! American like nobody in this movie.
Girl! A pale golden beer with a delicate white head, Becker's Best American Pilsner has soft aromas of bready malts, accompanied by subtle lager notes. The flavor is relatively neutral with a low tart bitterness and a touch of sweet malt tones. This is true crushable craft beer with a clean, crisp finish. All right. And my top?
Oh, his top.
Nice.
Are you going to read your top 10 there next, Casey?
We have a caller, Brandon, from Moose Jaw, Canada. And he requested the poor.
Oh yeah, gosh, this is a crystal clear beverage. Yeah. It's a light straw color, has a white foamy head.
What kind of bubbles?
Wow.
The tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles make me happy.
It smells really fresh. You get just a hint of that green apple. Yeah, taste the apple. Steve's gone in for the sip.
Yeah, that's a damn fine pilsner. Truth be told, I had this for the first time over the weekend when we were at Ogden River Brewing.
Yep, and he may have had 40 ounces of it.
At least. yeah, fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, nice malt forward. Little bit of that green apple, but
like in a delightful way
to round it out. Yeah.
Easy drinking.
What are you drinking over there at Moose Jaw, Brendan?
Downing a little number from a very indie brewing company named PepsiCo. Devouring some delicious Pepsi. Ooh, lots of tiny bubbles.
It's a very dark, dark brown.
Yeah, it's got the taste of corporate negligence to it. See, I wasn't a Pepsi drinker until I saw that Super Bowl commercial where Pepsi cured racism, and I was like, this is the drink for me.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember that? Because I won't let you forget.
You know what? Maybe we need to switch, babe.
Oh, we drink Pepsi.
I know.
We don't drink Coke.
Well, I drink Mountain Dew because I'm awesome as fuck.
It's true. I mean,
that's our mixer of choice. Totally.
My uncle is a Pepsi truck driver for like 40 years. I've told you about the carbonated milk fiasco.
Oh, yes.
Brendan, did I tell you about the carbonated milk?
No.
That it was a thing? That's the fiasco.
In like the late 90s, Pepsi decided they were going to try and make milk better and made carbonated milk. And it was awful.
All right, guys, we lost a lot of money on this whole Crystal Pepsi shenanigans. What else you got?
Yeah, so it didn't sell. So all the Pepsi employees got to take home cases and cases. And my family was poor as fuck. So Uncle Robbie, shout out to Uncle Robbie, gave us cases and cases and cases and cases of carbonated milk.
Did somebody say my name?
And I remember crying because I didn't want to drink the milk.
Okay, like, I don't even like regular milk. I can't imagine that I would like carbonated milk.
I'm just imagining mixing it with, like, Rice Krispies or whatever and making some sort of C4.
So
that sounds awful.
So did either of you guys try they had milk flavoring tabs to try and make milk taste like root beer or strawberry, and you dropped them in and the Alka-Seltzer fizzed?
No.
Okay, I think this is another, like, poor person thing. I was next to the Kool-Aid aisle.
I've had, like, the weird, the strawberry milk drink before.
Yeah, strawberry milk's delicious.
Wait, there's nothing weird about strawberry milk.
But all right, so my mom went and got these, like, fizzy tabs, because they were, like, really cheap at Food Max.
So your mom gave you Alka-Seltzers to throw in your milk?
To throw in our fizzy milk, and it made it worse.
What?
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, bleh!
Oh my god, it was so bad. I think we ended up donating it to a homeless shelter around Thanksgiving.
Oh, you monsters. What are they going to do with it besides vomit?
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, the fuck is this shiz? I believe was their catchphrase.
Moral of the story, nobody out there needs to drink carbonated milk.
Of course not.
I don't think anyone was on the fence about that one. So.
And if you think... And if you're disappointed by that reaction to carbonated milk, you could stop listening right now.
Right? If you're like, damn, I missed out, turn this off. We don't need you.
But subscribe on patreon.com/EILFmovies.
That's right. Who knows? You may be getting carbonated milk in your next Christmas present.
Oh
shit!
Or maybe just the Alka-Seltzer to throw into it. I don't know.
That would be the only time I would be motivated enough to actually return to sender.
You're like, and canceling patronage.
And blocking on all social media.
Oh god, they still make milk flavoring tablets.
Well, I'm sure they do.
Milk Magic is one of them.
Because milk isn't a flavor enough.
Right?
Yeah, I love the taste of viscous in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So the apple.
Yeah!
Taste the apple! From 1980, from writer-director Menahem Golan.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He did a ton of Iranian films in the 70s, but probably best known as one of the founders of Canon Film!
Yeah!
And he produced over 200 movies, but he also directed a few dozen, including this, Enter the Ninja, Delta Force, and babe... We've had him on the podcast before for over the top.
Yeah!
Yeah. Story by Kobe and Iris Recht.
Who are they?
Excellent question. They did this. And that's it. And Iris plays Dominique in this movie. Who's Dominique?
Oh!
Who's Dominique?
Isn't Dominique the Poppy and Peppy or whatever her real name?
Pandy and Dandy?
Pandy and Dandy? Is that Dandy's?
I would assume their names are Pandy and Dandy, not Dominique, but I don't know.
I feel like they called her something else, like, at the end, like...
Like
Dandy! Dandy!
Yeah, okay, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Brandon, do you know who Dominique is in this movie?
Dominique Swain, star of Face Off. No, I have no idea.
Dominique Wilkins, third overall pick of the 1983 NBA draft at the University of Georgia. Hall of Famer now. Speaking of Hall of Famer, babe, we have a friend of the podcast in this movie. The theatrical debut of Miss Catherine Mary Stewart as BB.
Woo!
So glad she went on to do better things. But her co-star George Gilmore as Alfie. Ray Shell as Shake. And of course, diplomatic immunity himself, Joss Ackland as Mr. Tops.
Mr. Tops.
They call me Mr. Tops.
Who looks like the most uncomfortable actor in a costume I've ever seen. But we'll get to it.
You mean discount Michael Caine? That's it. When you order Michael Caine off of Wish.
He's like Michael Caine in the Third Reich or something. Like, hello, you can call me Alfie.
So wait. Wait, so you're saying he beat Reichel Caine?
Guys, we're going to have plenty of zingers for this one. So,
lots more Nazi jokes to come. Stay tuned.
Brendan, did you watch this on Tubi?
I did, and this is actually the second time I've seen this movie.
When was the first time?
A certain other podcast did it, so I watched it so I could enjoy the episode a little more, because I started listening to them talk about it and I was like, this is fucking crazy. I have to watch this. And then I did, and spoiler alert, it was fucking crazy. But yes, I did watch it this time on Tubi. Very limited commercial interruption. I was pleased.
Yeah, there was like, what, like 10, 15 minutes left in the movie. They came up for a couple, like two. That was it for us, I think.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So you took a little chance and did the Apple dance?
Yes.
Right. Babe, is this your first time watching this movie?
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, I think we watched it around the same time. We also watched that Electric Boogaloo, The Rise and Fall of Canon Films or
we
whatever.
We watched it after we watched that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, I won't bury the lead because I'm sure you're going to get into it at the end then.
Oh, okay.
About when you, I was going to say bits and bobs, when you get into your
fun facts.
When you get into your fun facts, I'm sure you've got stuff about how Golan was not in a good place when this movie
came out. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's not super fun, but it's factual.
Indeed.
It is a bit and bob.
It is a bit and bob. Yeah.
So guys, we're starting off at the World Vision Festival or something. I couldn't quite tell what it was saying on the wall. But World Vision something. It was basically like American Idol.
BIMFest.
I think, guys, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it was hard to tell because it was very subtle and very understated. But I think BIM's on the way.
Yeah, so Brandon, we were, you know, yes, the first musical number that comes up, this big thing, there ain't no blank. Mm-hmm. Basically for like 10 things. And then it's, hey, BIM's on the way. But we're trying to figure out what it was saying because we forgot what BIM was. Let's
we
be real.
We forgot about BIM.
Babe. Do you remember what you thought it was?
I don't remember.
Hey, tits on a plane. That's my wife, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what sounded like.
And I couldn't tell her she was wrong. I said, it's unlikely, but I cannot confirm nor deny.
was a really weird Sam Jackson spinoff, I'll say. Plus, he wouldn't, I don't think he would be frustrated with the amount of tits on the plane. I think he'd be like, hey, we got some motherfucking tits on this motherfucking plane.
Exactly. Well,
only if he's like trying to land it or something. There's too many goddamn titties on this goddamn plane.
Get the titty, get your tits out of my cockpit.
But yeah, so while well, this musical number is going on for what seems to be entirely too long, but it sets the mood for the movie.
Yeah, every song in this movie is like, holy shit, this is crazy. Oh, we're still doing
this?
Still doing
this. Wow, we must really need to fill out 82 minutes.
Well, yeah. And then like after every song that's like, wow, this is crazy, the next song's like, here, hold my beer.
Exactly. But we see the control room for this performance, and we see the devil, I assume. Oh, wait, no, we find out later his name's Mr. Boogaloo or whatever. Boogaloo. Yes. And he's talking to what I have initially written down as Goldie Rod.
Ruby
Rod's brother.
Mm.
And, it's Mr. Shake. And
Steve's favorite character in this, by the way.
I mean,
every time he showed up on screen, it's like, oh, this motherfucker.
Brendan, how would you describe Mr. Shake?
Well, he's very bedazzled.
Oh, his teeth are bedazzled.
His face is bedazzled. His delivery, for every line, it's as if every single time someone dared him to do it differently. Someone was like, why don't you try this? And he was like, that's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Can you do it more over the top?
Can I?
I like the look, the full body glitter look, but can you be more flamboyant?
I can try. Maybe if I do a little twist every time I talk or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I would be shocked if this movie wasn't, like, an iconic movie for the LGBT community. Right?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked if this was, like, an iconic movie for that community. Because it's very camp, right? And it's very, like, over the top. And it's very,
very theatrical.
Flamboyant.
Yeah.
Yeah, theatrical. But also, it's, you know, no one saw it, so...
it's a cult classic, yeah.
Mm.
We're finding out. I guess Bim is a power of some sort, and something about, hey, the crowd's up to 150 heartbeats.
What was that?
Heartbeats per minute in total.
Like the scoring system is called heartbeats, but they didn't really talk about it.
We can't say decibels. I didn't know they were trademarked. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and their hearts must be pounding fast because of all those snazzy gladiator S&M outfits, right?
Yeah. Well, that's how everybody dressed in 1994. Don't you remember, Brendan?
The futuristic world of 1994. When Bim ruled the earth.
Yes. When they said 1994, I was like, they weren't that far off.
Well, yeah, give or take 25 years.
Yeah. But then, so this performance, you know, they it runs its course. And then we get their next performers, Alfie and Bibby, as they perform Universal Melody.
Oh.
And it's basically like a Joni Mitchell, John Denver collaboration. But
yep.
Love is the universal melody. And I like how like people in the crowd are like, the hell is this shit? Boo!
Like, and then it slowly wins them over. And I'm like, what is winning them over? The lyrics?
Yeah.
It's just, and the, what's his face? Mr. Shake. And
Mr. Boogaloo?
Boogaloo are like freaking out in the control booth because like they're up to 151 heartbeats. And I'm like, really? The crowd is very quiet.
Yeah. The crowd is like almost asleep, but also crying. And they like, what's wrong with your eyes? I don't know. I'm feeling something. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, they're just a couple of kids from Moose Jaw, guys.
Yep. And I'm like, oh, they're Canadian. That's why Brendan wanted on this one. Got it.
Yeah, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, but I love how, like, you know, like, well, over 151 heartbeats. Quick, get the red tape. And they get this red cassette tape and just put it in. And it has these, like, horrible, like, modem sounds or whatever. And then everybody's like, oh, what the? Boo, boo, get off the stage.
Well, I was confused because I thought at first it was just that they were annoyed because they couldn't hear the music anymore. And then they seem to just turn on the singers. Like, it seems to also have a brainwashing effect on the crowd. Like, they just, because they seem to, like, just turn on it all of a sudden thinking that they're, I don't know. It was,
yeah,
it was
weird.
They
were causing the feedback or something. Like, yeah.
Yeah, or the feedback causes them to think that this is a bad performance. I mean, which maybe. It is, but,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
I also noted this is footage from the real audience when the Apple played, if the stories are to be believed.
What the hell is this? Yeah. Boo! Yeah.
And throwing stuff, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, after the show, we see Mr. Boogaloo. He's you know, walking by, talking to reporters and speaking to them in all native tongues, like German, Italian, French, all the stuff. Mm. He's a very well-spoken man of all, I don't know, all countries of Europe, I guess.
Right.
And then one guy with the was the Daily Post or whatever, he's like, what do you have to say about rumors that the show is rigged? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, what was your name, bitch?
And then we see him later and he gets fucking brainwashed.
Yeah. So yeah, a rigged talent show. Who could possibly imagine such a thing?
Steve, did
certainly
you
not a thing
who
that
was
exists.
On a talent show, or at least yes. a feat of strength show.
Yeah,
and
definitely was not produced by The Rock.
Yeah, and they basically just kept filming it until she lost, and
yep.
the white person won.
Uh huh.
Say this again.
One of my coworkers was kind of fucked over on the Titan Games.
Okay.
So
they basically just kept filming it because she kept winning against the white girl until she didn't win against the white girl. And they were like,
well,
that's
yep,
the
that's the last
taken.
One. That's the last one. Yep. Sorry. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
all right.
Television, baby.
I mean, we did watch the season, and it definitely didn't look like an Aryan race breeding program, all the, like, final competitors.
And once again, produced by The Rock.
Yeah,
it was, like, weird.
Okay. Blonde hair, blue-eyed The Rock.
That's right.
Yep. Known for...
he was originally known as The Quartz, but...
yeah.
But anyway, enough of this crappy little talent show. Let's cut to an awards party. Wait, what?
Woo!
And we learn about the marketing genius of Ashley.
Yeah,
oh,
yes. The pinball machine. I was in.
I'd take a pinball machine.
And then was it the
oh, and Ashley is a dude.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a unisex name.
I mean, everyone seems pretty gender fluid, I will say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a very fluid movie.
Absolutely. So I will have to say on the Ashley. So I have a cousin named Angela, and I had an old like neighbor named Angela, and my neighbor Angela was lesbian, and my cousin Angela is a crackhead. Sorry, Angela. I know you're not listening to this. They both got married the same year to Ashley's, and
wow.
I could not keep their goddamn Facebook straight because they both changed their last names.
Jesus.
All right, well. but this is, yeah, where we're introduced to the BIM marks, which are basically these fucking stickers people put on their foreheads or whatever to show that they're down with BIM. More on that later. But Alfie and Bibby apparently arrived to this party as the guest of honor. What? But they were booed off stage.
Boo!
And
yeah, but Boogaloo sees real potential in them, Steve.
Yeah, that's why he introduces them to one of his top acts, Dandy and Pandy.
Yeah,
who immediately are like, we're gonna fuck these two.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Alfie's like, I don't drink, especially these kind of parties kind of thing. But Bibby's like, yeah, I'll take some of that. And then what's his nuts, Dandy, is like, well, here, let me show you the penthouse. Here, try some pills. And they start kissing, and I don't know. He's like, well, gotcha.
And then she falls down the sex, drugs, and rock and roll tunnel before she even gets famous.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, she wants into this life.
Go ahead. They just start like immediately dancing and then doing the song Made for Me. And it's basically like, so we're gonna fuck now.
Also, anything, I'll just say, hot take out of the gate, anything's better than Alfie.
True, like, yeah.
Like, every line he says, he's like, I made a song! They're gonna like my song! He just sounds so, oh, it's the worst.
So somehow this dollar store Roger Daltrey's moving in on his girlfriend.
Yeah, you were made for me, created for me.
Yeah. And then, like, they're you know, doing their thing, and then it, like, instantly, like, as they're, like, in bed, like, it opens up and everybody's there, or like, they're kissing and, like, everybody's there watching them, like, hey, applause or something.
That was very weird.
Yeah. So then around this time, we find out what BIM is. BIM is Boogaloo International Music. I didn't know it before this point, so I had to write it down. And Alfie and Bibby, they basically go to the music company, and they're in, like, the waiting room, like, oh, we have an appointment with Mr. Boogaloo. And, like, oh, yes, right over here with literal clowns.
Yep.
And I love how, like, the Alfie's, like, trying to strike up conversation with, like, the one guy who's not a clown. He's like, what are you here for? I represent Ballet 2000. Who? Cue the music video.
Which, by the way, the weird thing, I know I'm going to say the weird thing about this scene, which is insane, but the weirdest thing about this scene to me is cue the music video, essentially, with Ballet 2000, but, like, Boogaloo's in that scene.
Yep.
But then later they're like, oh, Boogaloo will see you now in his office. And I'm like, wait a second.
He was just right there.
He was just there.
I'm just waiting for him to finish the last verse of Show Business.
Oh, I need this soundtrack.
Yeah.
I am going to say on this song, perhaps recording in an abandoned mall was not the best for the audio quality.
What?
Yeah, maybe. Also, this is the first of many times I've written down, fuck your fourth wall, I'm going to Fellini this bitch, because everybody's, like, staring directly down the barrel of the camera like, do you get it? It's about show business fucking you over.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking advantage of talented people.
Yeah, at one point, Boogaloo just looks at the camera and says, these are the three rules to get out of school. Number one.
Yeah, so he eventually invites they, like, go up to his office, and he's just, like, at his desk, like, just writing shit down. He's like, oh, yes, separate contracts over there. Just go ahead and sign them. We'll start working on your new image. We already have appointments set, blah, blah, blah. Like, well, wait, we want to, like, get a lawyer and, like, look over these contracts. And he's like, look, you've only got 10 minutes until the fitting. So, I mean, sure, do what you got to do, but it's not going to be available after that.
Yeah, well, BB doesn't want a lawyer. She just wants to sign.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, dude. I'm signing. And Alfie's like, wait, no. I got to think about this. And then they also mentioned, like, yeah, we're already selling your first album, but we haven't recorded any songs. That's just it. We sell the poster, then we make the movie. I mean album, because we're Canon Films.
Hashtag business. They're making business at the business factory.
That's right.
100% Canon made all the posters first.
Yeah. Including this one. They're like, it's called The Apple.
All right, get to work.
Shit, we need to find somebody to write this down. What's my secretary's name again? We'll give her a part in the movie, too. I don't know.
Yeah. My secretary, you mean the seventh one we've been through in 3 weeks because of all the allegations?
Yes. That's why I have to ask you which one's still around. I don't have time for this. I've already got 5 movies being made.
Sir, your hand is on her right now. Ah, damn it, number 8. Get her in here.
What's your name, sugar tits?
Yeah. Jesus.
By the way, my Iranian accent, spot on.
Yeah. It's as good as my. It's as good as Nathan and I's Japanese accents.
Man, I'm going as I live and breathe.
Oh my God! It's great to see you in here.
Oh shit! You guys feel that? It's an earthquake or a tornado or something. Something's going on in this office, and I don't know what it is.
Right. Also, just real quick, what is Alfie's accent?
Canadian.
I don't know. No, it's not. Garen, telling you right now, it's not.
It's not. It's not some sort of like swollen moose jaw accent. Or...
No, it's like it's. I thought he was Australian at first.
Right?
Yeah, he was like trying to do the American accent, but he's like, I don't know, Slovenian or something. He's like, I do not want to sign this contract. It's like,
well, that's why every line was just like, I don't want to sign this contract. It just sounded so crazy. Like, it's almost like the some of the, you know, the singing in this movie where they're like, you know, they're kind of yell singing. It's kind of like hair metal. That was kind of his delivery when he talked.
Yeah. Brutal. Oh, but yeah. So, yeah, this earthquake thing's going on and you get some weird dream vision. And then, he's basically saying like, oh, no, he's the devil. Well, I guess we're not quite there.
This devil makeup.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Mr. Boogaloo or whatever is at the table, and he turns around and he's in the full makeup.
Yeah. The second earthquake, yeah.
And it's just like, honey, you need a blender stick.
He also only has one horn, by the way.
Well, yeah, he's not full evil yet.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He's just one horn. He never has two.
Well, he's also got his loyal army of Mogs running around hell with him, and Mr. Snake in the full snake makeup.
Also, guys, I just want to, just as a bit of a disappointment here, there is like literally nothing about this guy from The Apple, because he's been in this movie and that's it. And he doesn't have anything on his IMDb page, and he doesn't have a Wikipedia page. So I have no idea.
George Gilmore?
Yep.
Oh, shit. He's a one and done.
So no idea how old he is, where he's from. He could be an alien for all we know.
Shit, that's
probably
what it is.
Oh my God, you guys, he's Tommy Wiseau's dad.
Please.
Well, based on the end of this movie, I mean, I think we know where he ends up.
Everyone in the movie.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, whole devil down in hell, the snake bringing the apple, and, you know, here, taste the apple, sexy apple.
Wait.
Put it in your mouth and...
Wait. Are you saying... No, that's too... No, it's really subtle. Is this supposed to be Adam and Eve?
My next note is, fuck your subtext. This is... this is a metaphor.
Take a little chance. Do the apple dance.
Yeah. Oh, and as everyone down, this is nuts, but I actually like this one.
This might be my favorite song because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then, so yeah, this whole like 5 minute thing down in hell, then it's like, snap, back to the office, and everybody's like, you okay,
everybody's
buddy?
Everybody's staring at him like he's just
where have you been? And, you know, Bibby's like signing the contract and he's like, no! And like storms the fuck out of there. And Bibby's like, oh come on. Come back. And then Dandy and Pandy are like, you don't need that cunt anymore.
You're one of us. Here, have some champagne.
By the way.
Cocaine?
Which, by the way, everyone on this set said yes.
Yes, absolutely.
But also, if I'm that character that George Gilmore was playing and Pandy is trying to seduce me, I'm signing that contract.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Pandy
is
shit.
Dandy. No, wait.
Pandy.
No.
Pandy and Dandy. Like, they can both get it.
Yeah, well, for real, yes. But...
Yeah, Dandy can watch.
Pandy is Pandy is where it's fucking at, though.
Oh, when her song comes up. Oh, boy.
I had to...
Speaking of fuck your subtext.
Oh, my God. Oh, and 2B pulled the greatest stunt ever during that song.
Oh, yeah. That's wrong.
We'll get to it.
Dandy and Penny kind of stop Bibby, and they're like, oh, come on, let's just go get that contract signed, and let's get you fitted for your new image. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We then cut to one of the weirdest songs I've heard in a while, because it's basically a reggae song being sung by Mr. Boogaloo. How to be a master. And it's basically, what if Dracula sang a reggae song?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I believe one of the lines is also, slaves are guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
He's also working out in full tuxedo.
Yes.
That's how a master does it.
You want to be a master.
I know how to be a master.
And he only says that conservatively 868 times.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of boom, blick, 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 blick in a reggae song. It just keeps repeating.
I mean, it's the equivalent of, like, Bim's on the way from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, true, true.
Again, a scene where the song is, like, coming to an end, and it's supposed to fade out, and I'm just like, okay, we should have faded out by now. It's still going.
He's like, no, we need 3 more minutes for this movie.
When you're master.
And then we're starting Bibby's world tour, and we cut to her singing the song, Speed!
Yeah, I wonder what that song was about.
It's definitely not about popping
Everybody
pills.
Everybody wants speed. Even bikers need speed. Even truckers want speed.
Pumping power.
I suck your dick for some speed.
Doesn't she say pumping power by the hour? Speed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And kudos to Catherine Mary Stewart for, I mean, it's not incredible dancing, but god damn it, she's got energy when she's doing this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and
look,
kudos.
The lyrics are ridiculous, but she's singing it well.
Yeah.
Kudos to the amazing motorcycles on stage.
Yes.
And the leather boys.
For this month, Steve, every musical has had motorcycles.
Oh shit, you're right.
Oh wow.
It's the fourth in a row.
Hopefully that continues the whole month.
Oh my god. But you know which one didn't have a motorcycle? Hmm. The next one, Under the Cherry Moon.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, there were plenty of Purple Rain, but he drives around in a Buick in that one.
Oh, yeah. Is that... Oh, yeah, that movie is kind of weirdly a musical. I forgot about that.
Well, next week! No.
Oh, man.
After we hear about, Bibby and Speed!
Speed!
We then cut to... I don't know, a city in post-war Germany where... Oh, bless you.
Excuse me.
Where we see a lady with groceries being stopped by a cop like, hey, where's your Bimmok? And she's like, wait, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta have a Bimmok, otherwise I gotta write you a ticket.
Buy him at the post office.
I was shocked. I was shocked, guys, that the cop didn't suddenly go like, you know, you gotta wear a Bimmok if you're gonna be in my town.
True. And then every now, is this Alfie's mom? Because she goes home and just starts unloading groceries.
Alfie!
And Alfie's there like playing on a guitar or some shit.
Oh, Steve.
No, it's his landlady.
Yeah.
She's just mothering him to death.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say, Steve, I thought it was his mom too until he full on grabbed her tits.
Yes. That was where I was like, what? And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'll have rent for you as soon as I sell a song, you know. But I also like how, like, right before that, she's also like, what the hell happened to your bed? I'm like, where is this going?
I also said, does he live with her?
Apparently.
Like, I think, is he just a boarder? Like, is he just renting a non-existent, non-bordered room in that apartment?
Yeah, it used to be, like, her sewing room or something, but she's like, yeah, for $300 a month, you know.
Right?
And he gets very close to her when he's singing that song, and I actually thought, I was like, this is the relationship I want.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the song, Where Has Love Gone?
Also, he thinks this is going to be the big song that he sells, but, like, it's very personal and directed at one person.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah, while he's singing it, we see, like, this montage of him, like, taking this slow-ass people mover and all this stuff, and everyone now, this is the future at the Montreal Mall!
Woo!
Actually, guys, do you want to know where this movie was filmed?
Where was this movie filmed, Steve?
Any guesses?
I'm going to guess, like, Iran or something.
Close. Is he?
Israel.
I have no fucking idea.
West Berlin.
Oh,
West Berlin. And as soon as I found that out, I was, like, watching this movie, I'm like, all right, I see it.
Wait a second.
Like, whenever it shows the city.
Okay, hold on. Now, my history is not good. Is West Berlin the one that was, like, ravaged? Or was it East Berlin that people were trying to get out of?
East Berlin is the communist one people are trying to escape. West Berlin is the one you could shoot an American movie in.
Okay. So, because if you would, that would have been wild if it was filmed in East Berlin.
Yeah.
Which, again,
somebody had some contacts.
Would not have shocked me, because in several times in this movie, it looks like there could very well be someone just off camera holding a gun to the actors. So,
yeah, absolutely. I said, make it funny. Yeah.
More flamboyant, more sparkles.
Put more shit on his teeth. Yeah. So then we cut to the recording studio, and where he's finishing up his "Where Has Love Gone" song, and they're like, "Yeah, it's not what we're looking for." And he's like, "Well, what are you looking for? Like, dude, look a fucking around, man. Bim's the kind of stuff Bim sells. That's what's selling, not your John Denver shit."
Yeah, and he has a full meltdown.
Yeah. Oh, he goes and pouts in the park, and then, the cop comes by, and they're like, "Hey, where's your Bim Mark?"
Once again, in my town, you gotta have a Bim Mark.
Yeah, no, they're not American, get out of here! Over the sirens, basically, the loudspeakers throughout the town, it's like, "All right, everybody, prepare for the Bim Hour at 4 o'clock. Boop, 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 boop." No, it's not quite Halloween 3, but it's like, because everybody's like, "Remember, Bim believes in personal fitness, so everyone will be dancing,
oh,
even
totally
the nuns.
Like, we're doing this for you."
Yeah. We even see, like, the most flamboyant firefighters I've ever seen in my life dancing around as a building's burning down.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch of doctors who are performing, like, emergency surgery.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Oh, there's like a Coca-Cola bottling plant where they just stop working too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we get that for a bit. Hey, Bim's on the way.
Yeah. Hey, Bim's on the way.
And then we find out, hey, Bibby's a star. And there's all these fans, after her concert, like waiting for her. And Alfie's there too. And he's like, Bibby, can you see me, Bibby? And Bibby's like, wait, Alfie? And then, like, the goons are instantly like, all right, get in the car. And then, like, they just go and just beat Alfie's ass.
Oh, and they're still Mogs. They still have the bulldog teeth and all that.
Oh, okay, so it was, like, subtle earlier in the movie. The guy had, like, the big jaw out. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, so he's supposed to kind of look like a bulldog. But by the end of the movie, he has the teeth and everything.
Yeah.
See,
I'm like, what?
It looked like he just got a bunch of, like some shitty plastic vampire teeth and put it in upside down.
Yeah.
He just went to the dollar
store. That's just what they did.
Yeah. It's Canon Films. I'm sure that's what they did.
Yeah, but Bibby drives off, and then we get some sad song from her, while she's undressing, called Cry For Me.
Yeah.
And
your love was no match for their evil!
Yeah, and we see like Alfie, he's just like bleeding in the rain as he's like crawling home. And as every dad, did he get beat up more? Because, but then he's like, well, no, the rain's like making the blood flow a little, like run down his face. Like, oh, okay, all right, we'll buy it. But he looks like he got jumped by like 8 dudes in a bar and left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to his apartment, and there's like fucking bongos and like a poster of some oiled up dude, which, that's cool. That's your thing.
Yeah, whatever. Live your best life.
Hey, it's 1994. There's no rules anymore, man.
Yeah, see, he wanted Dandy. That's why he's really mad.
Oh, shit. That actually would make more sense.
He doesn't get Dandy, but he gets Pandy later.
Yeah. Oh, shit, we're almost there. Yeah. All right, so.
Steve's favorite song of the movie.
So the landlady, like, wakes him up the next morning, and apparently she, like, broke down the door, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to see that scene. I want to see her, like,
right.
My baby's in trouble!
Yeah, she's like, I thought you were dead. Now you gotta pay me some rent. But I'm gonna feed you some soup. What kind of soup is this? It's chicken noodle!
If you're gonna die, can you jump off a bridge so people don't ask me if I murdered my tenant for, like, 20 years?
Guys, fun fact, that landlord was the inspiration for Harley Quinn.
Oh my god! It's so exciting, and my personality is based on an egg sandwich!
So, So that night, Alfie decides, hey, I'm going to go to a gay bar. that's what it looks like for the first couple minutes of this scene. He's just like walking, everybody's like, ooh, what's this guy doing here? but yeah, a lot of people, you know, dressed in drag and whatnot. And then, yeah, Pandy pops out of nowhere like, oh, hey.
Hey, girl.
Can I get you a drink? And he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe a scotch. Like, oh, actually, give him one of my special drinks. And I'm like, he's about to get fucking Cosby'd.
Yeah.
But who's the bartender, Brendan?
Who was the bartender, Brendan?
It was Joe Pittman from the Daily Post from earlier. He works for BIM now.
Oh, I thought that was the other guy that walks over.
Oh, maybe it was.
No. So there's a bartender and then there's a waiter.
But yeah, I thought they were both like waiter. Reporters or whatever.
They were both at the party.
Right. I thought the guy who walks over, the second guy who walks over says Joe Pittman. I don't remember who the first guy is supposed to be.
I think it was like another reporter that was like, what are your thoughts on slavery? Wait, what? I heard a really controversial song about being a master. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to ask this question in front of Pandy.
You're right. Ooh. I'm so sorry.
I read the room, am I right? Anyway, what else?
Yeah, but then we see, yeah, so like Dandy's there, all these guys, and then Mr. Boogaloo's there, and I realize, wait, is this his fucking office? Because he's like at a desk and like doing paperwork or something. And I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, they cut the part where he just puts his face into a mountain of cocaine like fucking Tony Montana.
Yeah. Time to powder my nose and eyebrows. But then the Cosby, I guess, has taken effect, and they're, like, talking telepathically at first to one another, like, tell me where Bibi is, like, you don't really want to know where Bibi is, or, what, are you talking to me with your mind right now? But then they actually move their lips and stuff, because, I don't know.
I feel like it was just bad ADR.
Probably, but, you know, like, he's the devil! No.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was just ADR that they literally forgot to get the actors to mouth. Or they tried to hide their mouths as much as possible.
True. Brendan, dare I ask, what happens immediately after the Cosby tends to take effect?
Oh, Pandy starts to sing this seduction song that is... has a few references to sexual intercourse.
You don't say.
Drain what? Every drop of your love.
Every inch of it. I'm actually trying to find the lyrics right now.
Feel me coming for you.
Let me tempt you and tease you and pet you and please you and squeeze every inch of your love. Let me show you things you never dreamed of. I'm coming. All right. coming for you, come and take me and shape me and mold me and make me and fill me with your fire. Come do anything to me your little heart desires.
And do they fuck?
Everywhere! Oh, wait, sorry.
I'm genuinely asking because when she has that turn later, and, you know, she ends up helping BB. I was like, oh, did Alfie's spunk, like, cure her of her evil?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they fucked and he went to completion.
Well, because she says, I can tell he loves you. And it's like, wait. How could you tell if he just laid there and fucked you and finished? Like, she's like, I could tell by the way he finished. It was a very uncomfortable finish. I could tell by the ropey jets of semen.
Yeah, ropes and ropes of yogurt. Yeah. But Brendan, I believe the third verse of the song will help clarify. Make it harder and harder, faster and faster, and when you think you can't keep it up, I'll make it deeper and deeper, tighter and tighter, and drain every drop of your love.
By the way, again, Pandy, yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes, please. So they bang. And while they do it, like, there's interpretive fuck dancing by like six other couples going on around them.
Yes.
That was great.
And then I assume about 30 seconds after finishing, Alfie like wakes up and is like, oh, I gotta go, and like instantly bails. I'm like, oh, that's rude, dude. And he's got like kaleidoscope vision walking through the party, and he's like, Bibi, where are you, Bibi? And then he like just barges in a door, and oh, there's Bibi, probably recently plowed by Dandy. And this is where on Tubi it popped up in the corner saying rated PG.
Had not said it the entire movie,
but it popped up. Red is like, it showed them in the bed. It was like rated PG.
I mean, it is though. That's the weirdest part.
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah, it was a 1980 PG.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like we didn't have PG-13 yet.
I'm surprised we didn't see penetration. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't believe there's any like full on nudity. So, true. I think they can get away. Like if it was today, it would be PG-13, 100%.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
And there'd be ropes and ropes of yogurt on all the sheets.
Right. I don't know if that. I don't know if that would happen. Yes.
So anyway,
somebody skips right, so, rope with ropes of yogurt.
Yeah. So yeah, it's at this point Alfie just like flat out like passes out, and I assume he just wakes up in the park. So I assume they just like, all right, who's gonna dump this fool in the park?
Mm-hmm.
Guy can't hold his, you know, mezcal or whatever the fuck.
But it's good that he gets woken up by the guy who I'm assuming just came back from the porn parody of Lord of the Rings.
Yes, Gandalf the Hung.
Well, he's like, and the fact that he has a knife, it's like he just showed up to the porn parody, and he's like, I don't know, I've never seen Lord of the Rings before. He has a knife, sure, add that to the character.
He brought it from home. Why not? Yeah. And he's basically like, oh, you look like you're having a rough time, buddy. Why don't you come with me? It's a hippie commune. Hey.
Sorry, we just hang out in the park and sometimes in the sewers.
And in the cave under the bridge. Yeah.
I'm just picturing now that scene in Lord of the Rings where he's like, you have my bow and my axe and my knife.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife. Whoa, Gandalf, that's a biggie.
Whoa.
Oh, I could see your wizard staff's bigger than I am.
That's why they call me Gandalf the Wide.
Gandalf the Wide.
Isn't that right, dildo backends?
Yeah. Dildo backend? Oh.
Guys, what are we talking Lord of the Rings now?
Can we watch Lord of the Cock Rings? I'm sure that's a movie.
Of course.
Oh my.
So yeah, Bibi wakes up with a hangover and she's like, oh god, what have I done? I had the weirdest dream last night that Alfie was here. And Pandy's like, yeah, about that. Oh, he was here? Oh, not only that, some of them still here. No, I don't know.
He plowed the shit out of me.
That's right. Oh man, have you heard my song? But he's like, yep, he was here. And, you know, Pandy's like, go to him. If you truly love him, go to him now. And Mr. Shake is like, what did you say, bitch? Slap! And is at this time I noted Mr. Shake's Amazing Stories jacket that he was wearing?
Yes!
Okay. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically, what's going on from here? Yeah, the cops roll in the park on the commune, and they're basically like, oh, yes, the... Yeah, I have the note written down. Why are there, like, six boobs on the top of the police van? Like, it looks like a nursing cat.
Because everything you see reminds you of her?
I'm sorry, the pink domes with little nipples on top of them? Yes, they did remind me of boobies. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the cops chase them off. But yeah, as they're like, you know, scattering, they're like, "Oh, we usually hang out in the cave under the bridge. See you there if you want to hang out with us, bro." Yeah.
I think also the scariest part of the movie is when we find out that there's a bachelor quarter of the hippie cave.
Oh yes.
Oh, he's over by the bachelor quarter. I'm like, what?
you know, the ones that haven't paired off yet, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, no dividing line, no divider separating any of these quarters.
It's all the honor system. Yeah. Brendan, weird idea. More guys are into the whole free love thing than women. I don't know why.
Oh, that's really strange.
Yeah, weird.
It's very lopsided in that cave.
Right. It's a lot of carrots in that stew.
And hey, if you're into that, let it be your thing.
Yeah, totally. The Bachelor Corner for you. So yeah, what happens? Yeah, Bibi decides to leave, and they're like, yeah, sure, go, whatever. Then as soon as she leaves, Pandy gets slapped again. And then starts singing about how she found herself, apparently on the backhand of Mr. Shake and with Alfie's jism. I don't know.
Yes, I believe one of the lyrics is, help me see, child of love.
Yeah. Oh, apparently he fucks some sense into her. That's cool. Yeah. So yeah, Bibi runs over to Alfie's apartment and like runs into the landlady like, where's Alfie? Where's Alfie? Oh, I don't know. He's hanging out with them bums under the bridge. And the giant hobo guy finds Bibi along the way. He's like, oh yes, you're looking for Alfie, right? How did you know? Huh? He's like, yes, come with me, I've heard all about you, Bibi.
Yes, come with me, hobbit, let's go.
Let's go into the cave.
And then
go ahead.
But I was just gonna say, the moment in this movie that is pure cinema is when Alfie removes BB's bib mark. It's just beautiful.
Ask me what it means. Yeah. Oh, and yeah, they go down into the cave and they're like, oh, nobody knows who you are because we don't even like television down here. And they're all singing this child of love chant.
Yes.
And yeah, the bib mark is taken off and they kiss and they hug and blah, blah, blah. The hippies start swaying. And then it's stopped by the clacking of, like, riot gear of the riot cops showing up. Clack, 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 clack. And apparently a year has passed.
Yeah, what?
Okay.
Because he had a full beard, and I was like, that's not him, though. Why does she say that that's her husband?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, excellent. Have some random hippie be the, oh, wait, I think that's him wearing a bad beard. Yeah. But yeah, Mr. Boogaloo and his crew basically show up with the help of the riot cops, and they're like, is Bibi Phillips here? You're harboring a criminal. She owes us $10 million. And the big guy's like, $10 million? Is that all? And I'm like, yep, 1994 inflation, baby.
Yeah, and they have a good hearty laugh about it, and everyone gets arrested.
Yeah, Bibi's gonna all get rounded up, and it's okay. Because Mr. Tops is coming. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck are we talking about now? But then,
oh boy,
Brendan, what happens?
Well, in one of the greatest special effects in cinematic history, we see a car, like a Cadillac, I guess.
Oh, it's a Rolls Royce, baby.
It's a Rolls Royce. Appears in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Like a translucent Rolls Royce appears in the sky. And this man in like all white walks out, and I guess he's Mr. Tops. And guys, I'm just gonna say, hot take here, I think he's supposed to be Jesus or God.
What?
Oh no, he's God.
He's like God himself, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said this earlier and I'm gonna say it again, when he walks, he looks so uncomfortable in that suit.
Yeah.
he
looks like if I take too big of a step, it's just gonna rip in half. It's like so
right.
Tight in some places. Yeah.
Somebody in Canada definitely heard the wrong size, bought it, and was like, you know what? I'm not getting a second one.
Oh, you said 44?
Oh, my bad. Try not to make too many moves.
Tell you what, I'll try stapling it in the back. Just don't do too much, all right?
When you walk, can you look like you have, like, I don't know, a giant stick in your ass?
I think I can do that. So yeah, basically Mr. Tops comes up and like confronts Mr. Boogaloo, and he's like, up to your old tricks again, devil. No, he doesn't say devil, but and then basically Mr. Tops is like, no, it's okay, children, you're free. And they basically all walk to heaven in the rapture.
I
don't know. They're God and Mr. Tops and Mr. Boogaloo are like talking, like, oh, where are you taking them now, Tops? Like, maybe to a new planet, away from your pollution.
You can't have place without me.
Well, it's worth a shot, isn't it? The apple! Taste the apple! Roll credits, guys. That's the fucking movie.
Not where I thought it was going.
Yeah. That's what we call a hard M. Night swerve. Right
when
there,
I first saw this movie, and, okay, for a movie to like, surprise you is one thing. For a movie to surprise you at minute 77 of 82 is something else. Because I was like, how is this movie still throwing me curveballs? Like, a giant car in the sky and God comes down and saves everyone. Sure, whatever.
You may say they were throwing apples at you.
Hey! You may say that, yes.
So, Brendan, what did you think of the apple?
Oh, man. If you're hearing this description and you're like, this can't possibly exist, you need to watch this movie.
Yeah, there's everybody, stuff we missed.
Yeah, there's stuff we didn't even go deep on everything, because there's so much in this fucking hour and 20-minute movie. There is so much happening, and the musical numbers are insane, and everything is crazy. It does look like a lot of work went into it, I will say. But
oh, absolutely.
In a way that makes no sense. So, yeah, everyone should watch this fucking thing. It's crazy.
Babe, how about you?
Oh, do the apple. Take a little chance and do the apple dance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This movie's phenomenal. I love that it's batshit crazy. It's so much fun.
Yeah, guys, it's on Tubi. You could do worse for 82 minutes. It's absolutely nuts. The songs, they'll have you scratching your head at times, but the ones that hit.
Here's the thing. Even the ones that have you scratching your head, they're catchy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, get the soundtrack, too. No, just kidding.
I will make a guarantee here on this podcast. Every 5 minutes, at the least, you'll look at the screen and say, what?
That's so true. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. What? But when we come back, we have more beer,
what?
Fun facts, and what we learned from the apple, sexy apple.
Tasty apple, taste the apple.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons? Magnets? Stickers? Bottle openers? Artist trading cards? Or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. .etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at Untidy Venus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? UntidyVenus.etsy.com, the goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Jason.
And we host a podcast called Four Screens
and Country.
And what do we do on this podcast, Jason?
We talk about the best British films of all time, as voted by British people in the British year of 1999.
The BFI Top 100, to be exact.
100 movies.
So with each episode, we talk about a movie on the list, historical significance, if it holds up, etc., etc., etc. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all that good stuff.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
Hey everybody, this is Jason.
And Jeff.
And Blake.
And we're the History of Bad Ideas podcast. And if you like hearing geeks talk about Fisto from He-Man,
or zombies, or dragons, or zombie dragons.
I was given copy to read, but it's a piece of crap. So if you just like any geek or any fun stuff, just listen.
We drop every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher, Tangent Bound Network, or WeBeGeeksPC.com.
Oh, God, I'm out of here. And remember to wear a coat.
Hey, Steve and Izzy, it's your old pal Mark Summers from the Nickelodeon Days, Double Dare, and many other shows, but I'm here to say everything I learned from movies is unbelievable. What a great job you guys have done. Please tell me you don't feed Twinkies to the cats.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
And subtracting too.
Ah, you said it.
All the math.
That's right.
If you hear any squeaking in the background, that is the puppy, Sushi, playing with the toy.
Aww.
Yeah, little Sushi.
The puppy.
Had him about a month now.
Yes, now he's going to show us all his bad habits.
Yeah, it's going to be great. He feels comfortable enough to make us want to throw him outside.
Yeah, have fun with that age.
What? 7 months old? It's a perfect age, right? This is when they're good dogs. Not when they become velociraptors?
Mine is 6 months, and he's just escalating every month.
Oh, yeah. Till about a year and a half, two years.
Yep.
They're complete lunatics, and it makes you think, like, God damn it, why didn't I adopt an old dog that was already good?
But at the same time, they know just when to be the most adorable thing ever.
Yes!
It's how they stay alive, just like children.
Unlike Mr. Pickles, who does not know when to stop.
Oh, the nasty, you know, nobody want him no more. Ain't that right, Pickles? Yeah. Salty Pickles.
Stinky Pickle.
Ah, babe, I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
I'm a little sober.
Oh, we'll see what we got to take care of that.
Oh, you didn't go with the other one.
What other one?
I thought you were going to get the pickle beer. So I was going to intro.
Yeah. There's still time if you want to go grab it.
No. Let's do this.
Okay. From Moab Brewing, we have their Rocket Bike Amber Lager. Take that rocket bike straight to heaven and the rapture.
Woo! Because you need speed!
That's right.
Speed!
Pumping power.
Oh, actually.
By the hour.
Our steam beer is a unique 100% American, brewed with special strain of lager yeast that works better at warmer temperatures. This method dates back to the late 1800s in America, when refrigeration was a great luxury. Amber in color, medium-bodied with a malty character, mildly fruity with an assertive hot bitterness, and a crisp, clean finish. Enjoy.
So this isn't an amber lager, this is a Cali Common.
Yeah, it's a steam beer. But,
thank you, thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. Yeah, somehow it started as Catherine Mary Stewart and ended up Sam Elliott. Who knew?
It happens to the best of us.
Right. My top?
Oh, his top.
Nice. And I'm coming.
Pump that power by the hour.
Speed.
Every ounce of my love.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful amber-colored beer.
Just gotta squeeze it out of there.
Has an off-white foamy head, lots of tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles, squeezing it out of me.
Smells like a Cali Common. It's kind of biscuity, a little malty on the nose. You get that, like, cereal note.
Ooh.
Not too hop forward.
Yeah.
There's a stinky pickle in my lap.
Stinky pickles messing with my beer. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, a little malt forward, just a little bit of hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've had Anchor Steam, this is very similar. It is delicious. Go get one.
Mm-hmm. 5% alcohol by volume. Moab Brewery Rocket Bike Amber Lager.
Woo!
Would either of you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
Only if they're super fun facts, because the fun facts.
Yeah, I'm in.
Excellent. All right, guys. Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think the critics thought of The Apple? Brendan, would you like to go first?
I'm going to say 20.
Izzy?
I'm going to go with my super generous 17%.
Ooh, Brendan's closer at 27% with the critics. Buttocks. Nobody gives a fuck about the critics.
Fuck those critics.
How many critics? Like five?
Yeah, it was probably one of those, like, 2 out of 7.
Yeah.
It was kind of a big thing in 19... Well, as far as, like, wide release or whatever, right?
Yeah, I still feel like it could be, like, very few.
Yeah, probably. But what about that audience score? Since everybody should watch this
movie. Woo!
I feel like it's not very high. 35.
Izzy?
Oh, you know what? I am hoping this could be like 75. Like, the people who rated this are the people who are just like, fuck yeah, America.
America via Canada, filmed in Berlin. Yeah. it is 49% with the audience, so Brendan was a little closer. But yeah, fitty-fitty, basically. Either you like it or you don't. $5 million budget. Could not find the worldwide gross, though. I'm assuming it flopped.
I think it was a pretty notorious flop, yeah.
All right. Screenwriters Kobe and Iris Recht set their screenplay in 1984 because of the Orwellian themes in the story. However, director Menahem Golan decided the year was too close in 1980, in which they were currently living, so he pushed it to 1994.
All right.
There you go. Apparently, the screenwriters originally conceived The Apple in 1977 as a three-act Hebrew stage musical about God and the devil, but their vision was deemed too elaborate and costly to execute on the stage. They showed the screenplay to Menahem Golan, who convinced them to turn it into an English-language screenplay, and the Rex quickly determined their initial vision would not work as a movie, so the original story and all 17 existing songs were scrapped.
Wow.
Yeah. Wonder what those songs were like. How many of those were about coming?
All of them.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Three-act Hebrew stage musical. Yeah, at least 12 of them.
Yeah. They also... You should have seen the original Fiddler on the Roof. Oof.
Yeah. The other five were about things going on sale. No. Steve, cut that. No.
Keep it in, you coward!
Catherine Mary Stewart learned the music and was working with a vocal coach who was confident she could perform the songs. However, the producers got cold feet, hired professional singer Mary Hyland to record the songs, and made Stewart lip sync to Hyland's recordings. Yeah, she pulled it off pretty well.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember, like, when we interviewed her, she was like barely 18 when she was in this or something.
Yeah.
She seemed to be quite young, yeah. Like, alarmingly young.
like she was hired at... That's right, because she, like, went to France when she was, like, 15 or 16 to be a model, and it was, like, within 6 months, like... Yeah, okay, anyway. You guys, check out our interview with Catherine Mary Stewart from, what, about 3 years ago? 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Director Menahem Golan had said that has said that when the picture was booed midway through at the 1980 Montreal Film Festival... He left the theater, went to his hotel, and was preparing to commit suicide by jumping off the balcony when his business partner barged in and stopped him.
Yeah, and I also heard that at the premiere they were giving out the soundtrack, and the people in the audience were literally throwing the soundtrack at the screen.
They were throwing at him with some speed.
Yeah. This movie was not a hit. 1980.
Yeah, it was ahead of its time. I hear you, Brendan.
Sure.
And here we go. As Brendan mentioned, this was the only screen appearance of George Gilmore.
Yeah, only thing. Only thing ever.
One and done. Hit it out of the park. Batting 1,000.
I mean, you might as well retire on top, right?
Yeah. But, ladies, gentlemen, we've reached the most important part. What did we learn from The Apple? Brendan, as our guest, would you like to hear Izzy go first?
I would be upset if you didn't do that.
Excellent. Well, I've said it many times during this podcast, but I learned that you got to take a little chance and do the apple dance and taste the apple.
You've said it many times.
Because it's like my favorite line.
Brendan, how about you?
Well, I learned that as I was enjoying a nice beverage while I watched this, I need to keep a better eye on my drink because someone's definitely slipped something in there before I watched the movie. It's the only way I can explain anything that happened.
Makes sense. I learned, first you sell the album, then you record the album. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
I also learned, fuck your fourth wall. I'm going to Fellini this bitch.
Yeah.
Subtext, get that out of here.
I also learned that, well, guys, I feel like this movie taught me that I need something in my life. And this is a really emotional moment for me. So please bear with me a moment. But this movie really kind of broke me down, and I think what it was trying to tell me is that I need a little bit more speed.
Pump it power by the hour.
Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. Rumor has it you are also working on a podcast.
Yes, it's in development. It's called The Apple Slices. Yes! It's where it's a by the minute podcast about the apple.
I'm in.
This movie, you could do that quite successfully.
Can I get dibs on minute 69, which I believe is when Pandy is singing the song?
I thought you were going to say on minute 1 to 82. yeah, you could, because every minute you would have 72 things to discuss. Although at one point you'd have to be like, and this is the minute where they just repeat Bim's on the way for the whole minute.
It's like minute 2 through 5. Like, yep, it's another one of those.
Did you know Bim's still on its way?
Still on its way.
Hey.
And at this point, we have no idea who the fuck Bim is. Yeah, anyway.
But yes, I do have a couple of podcasts. I have one called What Were They Thinking, which I host with Nathan over on Age of Radio.
Big time!
Of course, on all the podcast apps. You can follow us on social media at WWTT Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Patreon. We're on Facebook, all that good stuff. We also talk about bad to questionable movies. Speaking is difficult today.
I recommend some speed.
I should get some speed for my speaking. My other podcast is called For Screen
and Contrary.
And on that podcast, which I'm on with Jason, who I understand has been on this show at least once.
Possibly twice?
I feel like he's been, he did the King Kong movie with you, didn't he?
Yeah, King Kong Lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
seen in the big hit, which we talked about on What Were They Thinking?
Just about to say that, yeah, it all connects. So Jason and I host For Screen and Country. It's a podcast where we normally talk about British films. Right now, actually, we are talking about British films right now on the Empire Top 100 British Movies list. We've talked about Canadian films, but I mean, you know, pretty goofy. It's not super. It's not a stuffy show. We talk about dicks all the time. You can find
a lot of dicks in that one.
There's a lot of dicks, at least two, and a bunch of guest dicks. But you can find us on Twitter at FSAC Pod. We're also on Facebook, and Age of Radio, of course. And then you can find us on all the other podcast apps. So check out both. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. More later. Izzy, are you on social media at all?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias at Untidy Venus. You can find my goods and wares for sale over at untidyvenus.etsy.com. But if you actually want a really good deal, just go ahead and message me on Instagram or Facebook, because Etsy takes like 60% of my fees now, so screw them. I can give you a better deal just by direct. Also, come join my Patreon at Untidy Venus over on Patreon. For $4 a month, you can join my Sticker of the Month Club. Every month, I will give you a sticker I designed. And at the time of this here recording, I just ordered a ton of new stickers.
Oh yeah, some good ones.
Oh, they're going to be so good. Oh. So yeah, $4 a month. Oh, and you get a handwritten card for me.
Excellent.
Steve?
Oh, yes.
Where can we find you?
Everywhere! We're on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Or you can hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. And since my wife didn't want to bring it up, I'll bring it up for her.
My wife,
she's starting a little Kickstarter here in about a week for some incredible enamel pins. So
we're putting the money in a man's name, so Kickstarter will actually pay us this time.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned my lesson last time.
Guys, if you need a man's name to put your Kickstarter under, I'm available. Or I guess ladies, if you're like, I guess I should have said it that way. Steve, fix that in post. But yeah, check out EILF Movies, and of course Untidy Venus, where you can see what incredible enamel pins we're making next.
So we're actually doing back-to-back Kickstarters, and the first one, guys, gals, folks, We're doing spooky Garys. Yeah. Gary the Unicorn.
That's the month of October.
We got some spookies. You folks are going to get to vote on Garys. If you donate enough, you can sponsor a Gary. It's going to be amazing. And then we're going to immediately follow that up with some Snackosaurus for Dinovember.
That's right. Do you want a Gary the Unicorn that's also an alien? We can do that if you want to sponsor it.
Oh my god, we should do an alien.
Yeah, Xenogary.
Oh, I was thinking like a little green alien with a little antenna. Oh, yeah. We could also do a Xenogary.
Or a gray, or one of the little green dudes. Or...
Steve, I'm just really excited for your patch edit job of when you put the word ladies in at the beginning of what you said earlier.
That's right, ladies.
Not even...
Steve wants like... to touch you the ladies.
Future Steve has quite a job in store for him.
Future Steve's going to leave this all in. You know what? Steve doesn't give a fuck.
You know what? I'm going to give Future Steve a raise. Besides, he's earned it.
Steve, Future Steve, you're never going to be able to link the dog chewing noises in the background together properly.
Oh, I just had music playing in the background. That usually cuts it out pretty good. Hey, dog's on his way.
I just picture it as soon as the squeaking starts up. Da-da-da-da.
Very much. Where's the fucking hold music or whatever?
That's the girl from Meepa Neepa.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there we are. So yeah, until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
I'm Speed. And I'm also Brendan.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Here's the apple.
Because he's got his cheese.
He's got his cheese.
America, the land of the free, is shooting up with pure energy. Every day she has to take more speed. America, the home of the brave, is popping pills to keep up the pace. And every day she cries out for more speed. From New York out to L.A., everybody does it her way. Pumping power by the hour. Speed. To get your fix, you'll do anything. There's just one thing that's worth fighting for. It's speed. America, your reds, whites, and blues are in our blood, we're strung out on you. There's just one thing we're all dying for. Speed.